Book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. And we're going to read some very familiar verses. Most of you probably could quote portions of this, but just something I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart, something I doubt we will get through all five verses here this morning because I am going to be referencing some other portions of the Bible. But I'm going to, very simple title, very simple, Why the Preacher Must Preach the Word of God. Why the Preacher Must Preach the Word of God. There's a lot of things in this world, in the church world, I should say, a lot of gimmicks, a lot of things that people are looking for. But we have to ask the question, what makes up a Bible-believing church? What should you look for? You know, I don't know what God has in store for all of our futures. It may come a point in time in your life you have to move elsewhere, or something may happen where you have to do something differently, go to a different church one day. God forbid, I hope it's for the right reason. I hope it's not for the, I hope nothing bad ever happens. But if you ever have to move or something, or if you're ever in a different area, what should you look for in a church? What are some characteristics? I'll tell you what one of those things are. You must ask the question, do they preach the Word of God? Do they teach it? Do they preach it? We're not talking about referencing it every now and then or talking about it as just saying, look, you know, we know it exists, but is it a church? Does the ministers in that church open their Bibles and preach the Word of God? There's a reason that we should. There's a reason that we do. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit here today. I trust God will use this to touch you. And again, because I get a little, get a little frustrated with the church world in America. Sometimes when you're over there preaching overseas, it's just amazing the reception you receive sometimes from opening the Bible and explaining the text. And we have a wonderful reception here in this church. It's not everywhere. But there's a reason that we preach the Word of God, and that's what we're going to look at. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5, very familiar reading. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Why the preacher must preach the word of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, today for your goodness and your faithfulness. We ask you, Lord, for the next few moments, God, that you would help us to minister. We ask you, God, that you would touch our minds, touch our bodies. God, you're able, God, to bring life into this service, Lord Jesus. You're able, God, to just bring this word alive inside of us. You're able, God, to show us your truth, highlight, God, reveal to us, touch everyone that is here. God, you know what we have need of in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen and amen. Again, we are living in a time in America, and I would say even abroad in this world, I've witnessed it even last week there in Tanzania, where there's a lot of confusion in the church world. A lot of misunderstanding about what a church should be, what it should do, and how it should function. I would tell you, brothers and sisters, as you already know and I've already mentioned to you, one of the predominant things that a church is going to do, what it's going to be, is going to be a place where the truth is to be proclaimed. And the truth not being something that is unknown or unknowable, but the truth as revealed in the Bible, the 66 books, the Word of God. We believe it is God-inspired. We believe God has spoken to us. As I have said here many times, you want to hear God speak, read the Bible. You want to hear Him speak out loud, read it out loud. So what we understand is this, is that God's Word is that. It is God's revelation to humanity. God has revealed himself to us. He didn't have to do that. He was not underneath any mandate to where he had to do that. If God wanted to be hidden, he could be hidden. If God did not want to reveal himself, he did not have to reveal himself. But as we read through the Old Testament and in the New, God has a desire to be known and to be known as he reveals himself. You don't get to make up what God is like. I don't get to make up what God is like. We don't look to the culture to see what God is like. God is the one that shows us who he is. He is the one that has revealed himself to us. Now, what I want you to notice pretty much in this message here this morning and potentially here tonight is this understanding of what the job of the preacher is, what the elder and the elders in a church is supposed to do. And all of this is not only for the preacher, this also applies to those who are in the congregation as well. God would have us to operate a certain way. There's a certain thing, a certain things I am to do, a part of my vocation. And one of those predominant things is this, is to be given over to the word and to prayer. We are to be those who expound the word of God as a minister. There is to be an open Bible. There is to be the word of God expounded upon. And there's a reason for that. Because the word of God is right. My opinion is not right. My preference is not always right or absolute. I may like my preference and I may like my opinion just as much as you like your preference and you like your opinion. But it always comes back to this: what does the word of God say? What is God revealed to us? What hills are we to die on? Where are we to take a stand? We find that here in the book of 2 Timothy. This is, as you would understand and as you know, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul's last letter. It's almost as if you would, his dying words to this young preacher. Timothy kind of being a little bit more timid in nature from what we understand, a younger man, and he's up against a very difficult situation there in Ephesus. There's false teachers that are coming in, and we come to this understanding that the Apostle Paul is going to speak to him. And he tells us in verse 1 what he says, and what Paul is saying here, he's letting Timothy know that he has a very serious commission. There's something you are to be doing, Timothy. There's some things that you ought to be doing and not to let up on. And that's where the Apostle Paul says this. He gives him his compelling responsibility by saying, I charge thee. Notice that he's basically saying, I solemnly charge you. And what that means is, and as you look at the original language, it basically means this. The Apostle Paul is saying, I have earnestly testified to you. I have showed you the truth. I have expounded to you on what is right, Timothy. I earnestly charge you with this truth. Brothers and sisters, hear me this morning. The truth is the truth, and it doesn't matter if you like it or not. I don't get to define that truth. You don't get to define that truth. When the truth rubs me the wrong way, guess what? The truth is always going to be right. I read this before, though. It was pretty interesting, and there was one preacher that preached one service, and somebody came up to him after service and said, boy, did you rub the cat the wrong way this morning? And the preacher said, well, you need to turn the cat around is what you need to do. You need to turn the cat around. What he's saying is this: God's word is right. His truth is absolute. There's not a lot of absolute things in this world, but there's some things that are absolute, and we know that the word of God is absolute. So he's charging Timothy here. Notice what he says. I charge thee therefore before who? Before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. I'll tell you right now, me as a minister and as a pastor, one of the things that helped develop accountability in my life is this, that God is watching me. I am accountable. Yes, I know I'm accountable to some measure to this church. I'm accountable to you as individuals. But more than anything, absolutely, I am accountable to God. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is this. He's saying, look, I charge you before God, or some in translation say, in the presence of God, knowing that we are always in the presence of God. You never escape his presence, church. There's never a moment that he does not see. There's never a thought that he does not know about. God is always present in our lives. The Apostle Paul would say this earlier in 1 1 Timothy 5:21, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. He's saying again, I charge you before God. You are in the presence of God and you need to live as such. So there must be in every mind that is in this room, from the pastor to the pew, to the deacons, to the song leader, to the Sunday school teacher, there should be this compelling seriousness that everything we do is before God and God Almighty. That's right. God is everywhere at all times. You know that, don't you? Do we live that way? Do we think that way? Do we talk that way? Do we work that way? Some live as if God's at church on Sunday, but He don't know where you live. I promise you this, God don't have to look in the church directory to figure out your address. He don't have to send you an email, and He don't have to text you. You're not going to get a notification and say, He's watching you. God sees. And it's in light of this understanding that we are constantly in the presence of God that should cause us to understand this, that not one month, not one week, not one day, not one hour, not one minute, not one second ever escapes His vision. So if I am going to minister as I should, and if you are going to live and minister as you should, you've got to live that way. God sees you. God sees you. Secondly, he charges him not only because of God's presence, but he also realizes this, there's going to be a day that he's going to be held accountable. Every man and woman in this room will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody. Now, I know sometimes because we are familiar with that, I don't know if it awakens what it should within us. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need the quickening of the Spirit in our lives. That's why we must constantly saturate ourselves in the Word of God, that we are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Paul would say on Mars Hill in Acts 17:31, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. What he is saying, there's going to come a day, there's going to come a time that you and I are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:1 says this, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That a man be found faithful, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, of a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring the light, the hid things of the darkness, and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts of men. And then shall every man have praise of God. Everything's going to be brought out in that day. There are those that live as if God doesn't know. Are you hearing this, preacher? As if God doesn't know what you look at on your phone. As if God doesn't know what channels you watch. As if God doesn't know the intentions of your heart. As if God doesn't know the motives of your soul. As if God doesn't know anything. God knows it all. And He's going to judge you. Now, naturally, it's a little intimidating, right? You're like, God sees it all? All. What should that cause us to do? Look for help. Pray for grace and mercy. And commit ourselves unto Him that is able to keep us. Church, I'm going to stand before Him one day. And God is going to judge me according to the very way that I have pastored this church. Now again, I sometimes, when I'm preaching about pastors, I feel a little funny because I'm a pastor, but it's the truth. Some may look at the pastor and say, I don't know why he harks on this, or why does he desire that one live this, or why does he talk about holiness and all of this? Because I'm going to be held accountable one day, and if I am a silent watchman on the wall, and I've allowed folks go down the road of perdition without warning, if I warn you and you go, if you compromise and I've warned you, there's nothing I can do about that. But woe unto me if I was to stand on the wall and see the danger and see the wolves and see the incoming compromise and armies. And I was to say, I'm going to stay silent here. I cannot do that. Why? It doesn't matter if it offends you. Why? Because I don't want to offend my God. Amen. I don't want to offend Him. I'd rather have a million church people mad at me than offend my Creator. You said, Brother Derek, that kind of preaching offends the world. So let it be. I'm not looking for the controversy. But I am looking unto God, who is the author and the finisher of my faith, to help me understand how we should develop and how we should preach the Word of God. All I know to do is open the book and share with you the whole counsel of God. And He's going to bring to light the hidden things of the darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts of men. So what does He tell Timothy to do after He charges him? He says, preach the Word. Oh, isn't that a big old pastor seminar right there? Doesn't take 10 days to come to that, does it? I understand we need to be taught and things like that, but it's very simple. What am we to do? We are to preach the Word, Timothy. There's compromise. Preach the Word. But there's all this apostasy. Preach the Word. They might get mad at me. Preach the Word. We've got to preach the Word. That word preach there means to herald or to proclaim publicly. That idea of the Word there is mentioned several times in Timothy. 2 Timothy 3 and 15, it says, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. It goes on to say in verse 16 of 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What are we going to do in these last days? Preach the Word. How are we may not have an influx of 1,000 people, but what are we going to be found doing when He returns? Preaching of the Word of God. Now, I hope you wouldn't have it any other way. And if you would have it any other way, I'd leave. Because this is what I'm called to do. Now, let me give you some things that are important, because you may say, well, aren't there a lot of pragmatic things that we can do to kind of bolster things a little bit, you know, kind of trick people to come in a little bit? Maybe we can, if we at least get them here, we can trick them. And maybe we just kind of trick them into liking church. I had somebody tell me that one time. They said, well, our whole entire agenda is this. We don't want it to feel too churchy. I don't even know what that means. I had a guy actually came to me and kept me. He said, I don't like church people. I'm like, what does that mean? I mean, you don't like church people. I go to church, I'm a church people. They say, well, I had a relative tell me that one time. He said, my whole goal is this. If we can just get them to think differently about the way church is. I said, what do you mean by that? And he went on to say, well, how many young people do you have? And I said, well, we're working on that. I said, how many old people you have? He said, well, we're working on that. Oh, a little different, ain't it? What is the idea was this, is we can at least get them here and try to deal with it a little bit and try to maybe just trick them. No, I'll tell you what this world needs is an open Bible. You say, well, they might not like that. Well, that means they need a nature change. It means they need to get saved. Well, I don't know if they're going to believe all that stuff. Preach it anyhow. Well, you know, we're different nowadays, Brother Derek. You know, we're more skeptical. You can't talk about the parting of the Red Sea and the sun standing still. And we cannot talk about them coming through the Jordan and the knocking down of Jericho walls. And all. We can't believe in all these miracles. It's a different, more scientific day. What are you going to do? Preach the Word. That's what you're supposed to do. And those who heed the Word and repent of their sins will come to believe the Word. They'll read that Bible and say, why? God's a good God. He's a big God. So why should we preach the Word? And there's only one way to do it, and preach it. Why should we do that? Number one, it allows God to speak rather than man. It does you no good if I get up here with just personal stories all the time. I may use one occasionally. What good would it be up here if I say, well, you know what? Again, there's nothing wrong with quoting a book or referencing a book or sharing an illustration What if I was to get up here service after service and say, you know, I'm not going to take my text from the Bible today. I think I'll just sit here and talk about this story about a bird I saw the other day and just talk about that bird for 2 hours and never reference the Word of God. Does it matter? We have to open the book. When a church opens the Bible and preaches the Word, it allows God to speak rather than man. Now, God may use a vessel, a man to proclaim. And you don't even always have to like the way that I proclaim it, in the sense you don't like my voice or something. But if I'm preaching the Word of God to you and it's true, resonate with the Word of God. Years ago, I've heard many pastors say this, and I found it to be some level true as a pastor. They say, you ever notice as a pastor how they get used to you as a pastor? Sure, I understand that. If you're here long enough, you'll get accommodated to Derek Jones. You'll get to some level accommodated with Pastor Glenn or Brother Shane or Brother Matthew. You'll say, oh, there they are again. I see them all the time. Obviously, we're friends, but it's a very familiar voice, right? Hence is why I think evangelists are very helpful. You get to hear a different voice every now and then. But understand this. You may get accommodated to my voice. You may get used to the way that I look, and you may get used to my personality, but never get so used to the Word of God that it doesn't do something for you. Hence is why we should preach the Word. People say, well, I got bored at that church. They just preached the Word. It was your heart. It wasn't that church. Oh, yes. It was nothing to do with that church. It was the condition of your heart. You were not receptive to the taught Word of God. That's your fault, not the church's. And there's something somewhere in your life that needs to be dealt with, repented of, if you are going to continue on the road that is right. Amen. Secondly, why do we preach the Word? It brings the preacher into direct contact with the mind of the Holy Ghost. When I read that Bible, it does something in me. It does something in you, right? Why do we tell somebody when they get saved, read your Bible? Because why do we tell you to read your Bible and turn off the phone or turn off the news? Because the counsel of men can only do but so much for you, but the wisdom of God is like a two-edged sword and it does something to me. Yes. It's been my experience when one begins to compromise and backslide. They don't read that Bible like they should. Come on now. Talk about, oh, it's the church. No, it's that dusty Bible in your house you hadn't read. Oh, it's the pastor. Well, I understand that can be the case sometimes, but sometimes you've grown cold in your love for the Word of God. You know, you ever thought about this? Who preaches to the preacher? I'm up here a lot. I love to hear Brother Shane preach, or Brother Glenn preach, or Brother Matthew preach. I enjoy that. Sometimes I text Brother Shane and say, can you lead service? Why, Brother Derek? Is it that you can't do it? No, I enjoy standing out there looking this way every now and then. That's one thing when you're always on the platform, but think about this. Who preaches to me? Who's propping me up on Sundays? I'll tell you what keeps me. I open that book. And the author of that book is my keeper, just as well as he's your keeper. Thirdly, why do we preach the Word of God? It forces the preacher to proclaim all the revelation of God. Fourthly, when we preach the Word of God, it brings biblical literacy to the church. You can tell when there's a church that doesn't have an open Bible because they don't know much about the Bible. I've been to churches where there's no teaching, there's no preaching, there's no effort on the end of the pastor or the teachers to open the book and work through the verses. You know, they say, well, I don't know if my church would like all that. They like clever stories, and they like an illustration more than they like that. Shame on that. It doesn't matter to me if every one of you was asleep this morning. Yes, it would be frustrating, but I still got to preach the book. Look, I've been out there. I've dozed off in a few church services. That mean you're a bad person. But can I tell you this regardless? Somebody says, well, it's hard to keep their attention. If everybody fell asleep, it's still my job to open the book and preach the Bible. You got a job too. Come prepared, ready to receive of the Word of God. Right? Come ready to hear. Come ready to receive. receive. Come ready to have your mind challenged with the Word of God. Lastly, let me say this. Number five, he carries the ultimate authority. There's some things you may not like about a preacher's delivery. There's some things you may not like about his sermon outline. There's some things you may not like about his illustrations. But one thing about this, if you look to the Word of God as your ultimate authority, you'll listen to say, what does the Bible say regardless of who's preaching it? Amen. We all have preachers we like. I could go around and maybe somebody would say, my favorite preacher is so-and-so. My favorite preacher, I've got preferences. Amen. You're to ask me, I'll say, well, brother so-and-so, boy, he can really preach. I really resonate with him. Another guy will talk to him. You ever heard so-and-so preach? And they'll say, well, I'm not his biggest fan. I was like, I am. You're not. You don't like what I like? What's wrong with you, man? To be sure, you ain't got good taste. No, that's not the case. Certain ministers are able to minister to certain people certain ways. Now, Brother Derek Jones isn't your favorite minister. I'm sorry. You're going to hear from me a lot. Who do you take that up with? God called me to come here, and I'm here to move me. So I'll tell you that until that day, just listen for the Word of God. Listening for the Scriptures, listening for the explanation of what God wants to say. It goes on to say, verses 2, he says, be instant in season, out of season. That idea means this, to be ready. We have to be ready as a minister to share. There are some seasons that feel more in season and some seasons feel out of seasons. I've preached long enough now. I've been preaching for over a decade and I realize there's times you really feel it. There's times it's just there. There's times there's a unique level of unity and harmony in your own life and with everybody. And you're like, my, can I believe I get paid to do this? There's other times you say, boy, Lord, I know you called me here, Lord, but I need strength today. Man, I don't really feel the best right now. I know you're faithful. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. But understand this. I've got to preach regardless. Help me, Holy Ghost. I want you to understand that. I've got to preach regardless. And I'm not over here trying to just beg for your sympathy as a pastor. I'm here because God called me. But I'll tell you this right now, and Brother Glenn and Brother Shane and Brother Matthew, they could testify to these things. You don't always feel like you're on the Mount of Transfiguration. You don't always feel like everything's being illuminated so brightly. But there's times you got to stop off and pray and say, God, I know I don't feel the best. Look, I'm still a little jet lagged this morning. I promise you this. I don't necessarily feel the best physically, but I get excitement in the Word of God because I know it's right. There's times you got to minister. This applies to you. You got to live it regardless of how you feel. Well, this happened to me and I don't know if I can keep on going. You can. You can. Brother Derek, have you ever been there before that you thought going behind that pulpit was tough? Yes. Told you before, there's times I stopped off in that office and wept for about a good 10 minutes before I got up here in the pulpit because I didn't feel like I could physically do it. I was so drained mentally and physically. It's not like that all the time. I don't feel like that very frequently, but it's been there. But I know this, God, I've got to be ready in season and out of season. There's times others can minister when you're in such a downtrodden state, but other times you got to do what God's called you to do. Preach the Word. Jeremiah would say, for since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil. Because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary of forbearing. I couldn't hold it in. I could not stay. Brother James Reynolds, who was a pastor in Maine, powerful man of God in my opinion, his wife died. And he thought for sure the Lord was going to heal her. I don't remember how she died. I just remember him sharing it many times before. And he said, then when she died, he said, Lord, you're going to raise her up. I can't do this. This is not what I thought. And God, I got faith. Do it, Lord. He said, on the day where the casket was opened, he was so distressed. He took his minister's license and tossed it in his wife's casket. He said, I'll not preach no more. I can't do it. So downhearted. He said, but it didn't take but one season in prayer. And the Lord began to blow on that heart that was so wounded, so downtrodden. He said, I must speak for him because I know he's still faithful. Church, can I tell you he's faithful? In every season of life, churches go through seasons, right? Ministers go through seasons. You go through seasons. Churches go through seasons. There's going to be time we have our end season. The fruit is on the branch. The weather's wonderful. The unity is contagious. The joy of the Lord is there and everybody's happy and there's no complaints. We don't always get there. But how many knows there's going to be our out of seasons where individual people are facing sickness and families are going through it. Right? And we have more funerals. And there's issues you got to deal with and conflict. What do we do, Brother Derek? Do we cease being a church? No, preach the word. The preacher's got to show up, so do you. So do you. So do you. We have our in seasons and our out of seasons. Well, let's move on. I won't be much longer. We'll have to finish this tonight. What else the preacher? Why do we preach the word? Not only is there an in season and out of season, but also the word of God exposes sin. Notice what he says, reprove and rebuke. The preacher is not only to be ready to preach, but he's also got to be ready to reprove and to rebuke sin. Sin is something that's got to be dealt with. It's a cancer in the church. Yeah, that means that if there's sin, and we know about it, what do we do, Brother Derek? Got to deal with it. There's ways to deal with it. And let's be honest. How many realize that sometimes when you deal with somebody's sin, it's a difficult season to go through? Look, naturally, this is just Derek Jones being natural. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, just work it out. Just you deal with it, Lord. I don't like have to go down that road. But no, the Word of God is going to deal. Why do we open our Bibles? There's sometimes something will be preached. The preacher will never have to say nothing. The deacon will never have to correct. A brother or sister will never have to go to them. An open Bible will deal with sin. Amen? There's been times I sat in a service and something was revealed through the Word of God. I said, I've got to get that right. Nobody came to me and said, Brother Derek, no, it was just the Word of God revealed it. You know, there's times when people become sermon proof. You got to deal with it. You got to talk to them. They don't listen. You got to take the elders. They don't listen. You got to bring it before the church. They don't listen. You got to excommunicate. We don't like it going that road. Hopefully it never has to. But notice the Word of God, an open Bible, is going to deal with sin. It goes on to say, it talks about reproving and rebuking. These are things that are important. And you say, well, what about Jesus? We need to act like Jesus. Jesus preached against sin. In your own time, read Matthew chapter 15. What about John the Baptist? He didn't mind telling them off, did he? You can't have your brother's wife. Ain't right to do that. The Apostle Paul even goes on to say, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Don't fellowship with that. Don't entangle yourself. Reprove it. Titus 1 and 13, the witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply. Think about that. You know, there's one thing to rebuke somebody. To rebuke them sharply, that's pretty sharp, isn't it? It cuts a little bit. It's going to prod a little bit. It's going to cut a little bit. The witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Why do we rebuke sin? Why do we preach against it? So that we can be sound in the faith. You got to deal with sin. Then it tells us that an open Bible, why do we preach the Word of God? We exhort. The word there, exhort, means to encourage. Not only are we to deal with sin, but guess what? We got to also encourage people down the path of truth. It do us no good just to reveal sin without showing the road forward. Do no good for the minister or the elder or brother or sister to deal with sin if they're not coming alongside and saying, look, I know you sin, but let me encourage you. There's been an atonement, propitiation. There's an advocate with the Father. You can be on the right road. We got to deal with sin, but we also got to take the same effort to encourage. There's some people that just like to rebuke sin, but they don't follow the rest of it, encouraged on the path of righteousness through exhortation. Not only that, now this is one we could work on here. With all long suffering, we got to do all this with patience. Now, as I cleverly said one Wednesday night, somebody said, what does long suffering mean? I said, to suffer long. There you go. Some translations say to be patient. Now, the reason I struggle a little bit with that, we all probably do a little bit. You ever get impatient with people? All right. You're like, they don't get it yet? Have you ever been there? You're just like, do again with this. We're really going to do this again. And you're like, oh, okay. I thought for sure 6 months ago that was it. Again. And then you deal with it, and again. Now there comes a point in time you do pray that the Holy Ghost will move in with sweet Holy Ghost conviction and chastisement and wake them up. Wake up. Can't do it. But we are to follow the pattern. Rebuke, exhort, be patient. And you say, Brother Derek, I struggle with being patient sometimes with people. But the Bible tells us that He was patient with you. Right? I'm smart enough to know that where I stand here today, I was not here 10 years ago. Yeah. Most of you don't see this. I hope you hadn't seen it. But I used to have a boiling temper. Some of you have never seen that side of me. Ask my mom. Ask my sister. You might even be able to ask Brother Shane. We've been around each other long enough. When I got saved, I had a boiling temper. And I'll never forget, I was a young preacher. I was not a pastor, not an evangelist, just a young minister. I've been 22 years old. I go to a youth retreat, and I had a bad temper, and I was very competitive. I didn't like losing. Went to a youth retreat, and we lost the football game. I didn't do nothing majorly outrageous, but me and another young man, we started getting mad at each other. He's a preacher now, too. We laugh about it now. Say, how foolish were we? We act plumb silly on the football field, fussing each other. You did this, or you did that. You're just a loser and all this stuff. We're going back and forth. And we got back down there, and we realized how silly we acted on the football field. Guess what we did? Said, sorry. Guess what else we did? Everybody else was playing football. We went to them and say, we're sorry. We're preachers, and this is pitiful. We ought not act like this. Guess what? I care less about losing now. If you see me on a football field in general, it'd be a miracle. But we'll come out here and play volleyball. Do you think I'd get upset? Not one bit, buddy. You realize then, once you grow up a little bit, you're not going to get paid for this. You're not going to get a scholarship. What I'm saying is this. I had people though that was long-suffering with me, that patiently dealt with me, some elders that came to me and said, boys, you ain't going to act like that. Guess what? That patience helped breed something in my life. They rebuked sin. They exhorted me. They were patient with me. So what I'm saying is I haven't always stood here on this side striving to be mature in the eyes of Christ and leading a church. I hadn't always been here. But I have to remember, there's some other folks that are not here yet. What should I do? What should you do? Be patient. Long suffering, which means it hurts a little bit. But God, through His grace, can help you be patient. Why? Because He was patient with you. Aren't you glad He was patient with you? Why must preachers preach the Word of God? I'll tell you why. Because it's what works. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Simple message. You've heard this before. I'll finish it tonight. I want to share the other side of this. This morning it deals more with the personal. the application to the church tonight is going to deal with false teaching and why we must preach the Word of God because of false teaching. But this morning we could simply say, why do we preach the Word of God? Why must the preacher preach the Word of God? I'll tell you why. Because it's what works. You shouldn't want anything else. You shouldn't demand anything else of your church. I mean, when I say anything else, I know there's other things that come with it. Integrity and accountability and love and all these things. But how is that developed? It's developed with an open Bible. How many would say sincerely from their heart, Brother Derek, every minister in this church, keep your Bibles open. Keep your Bible. Don't compromise. Don't look for gimmicks and games to try to win the crowds. But here's my charge to you. If we as the leaders and the ministers of this church assure you that there's going to be an open Bible and our best efforts to share with you what God lays on our heart in prayer, you've got to live it and you've got to be faithful. You say, well, I'm waiting until that revival. That revival may need to start in you. I'm waiting until that service where it gets, you know, real high in that service and everybody's shouting. We may go a season where you don't have that. God may allow us to go through a season we have it frequently. But I know what works. You can't live on a shout. You can enjoy it and rejoice. The Spirit of God touching us. There's something that has been tried, something that has been proven, that even in the most difficult of circumstances, that God's Word is true. So what you should say in your heart is saying, Lord, you've given me everything I need. Look, if everybody in this world was to compromise, if Abundant Life Tabernacle ever ceased to exist, God forbid, you would still have no excuse why you couldn't serve Him with fervency and earnestness and faithfulness and holiness. Commit yourself to His Word. Let's lift our hands and pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for the Word of God. The preacher must preach the Word of God. Why? Because it works. It works. Lord, I've done my best to share my heart. God, I don't have anything special. I don't feel that I'm talented enough. Lord, I don't feel that I've got the charisma. But I know Your Word works, dear Jesus. I know it works. And God, we here at Abundant Life Tabernacle, God, appreciate the Word of the Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You've been faithful to us. We commit ourselves unto Your Word, Lord Jesus. We commit ourselves unto You. God, speak to us, challenge us, show us Your Word, show us Your way. It should be the cry of every man and woman, Lord. Open the book, show us the Word, and help us to live it. Help us to live it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. How many appreciates God's Word? Let's continue to be that church that keeps the book open. God bless you. You are dismissed. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock. Thank you, Jesus.